It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe, and now we're going to shift gears a little bit. Chase Garrett is here with me. He is a young man with an old soul. He grew up in Iowa City, and he's been playing the piano since he was 9 years old. He's been touring outside of Iowa since he was 17. And now, at the ripe old age of 24, he is spreading the gospel of boogie-woogie far and wide. Chase Garrett's fourth annual Blues and Boogie Woogie Piano Stomp is tomorrow night at the Englert Theater in Iowa City. Hello, Chase.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And can you start us off with a little sample of what people might get to hear tomorrow night?
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to play something that I will play tomorrow night. This is Mac the Knife, and it's going to be a medley that I'm doing tomorrow night, but this is just a section of it. So let's see. Here we go. Like that, yeah.
All right, Chase Garrett playing a little bit of Mac the Knife. And you started playing piano or keyboard when you were 9 years old. Did you take lessons?
I did take lessons. When I was nine, my parents got me a small keyboard for Christmas, and that same Christmas, my grandma got me a Scott Joplin CD. And the keyboard came with two free lessons, and since my sister was taking saxophone at the time, my dad pretty much told me that someone's got to take him. So I took the lessons, and when I was nine, I was really into Legos, and when I was playing with my Legos, I listened to that Scott Joplin CD, and the first day of lessons, my teacher asked me what I want to play, and I said Maple Leaf Rag, which is one of the tunes that Scott Joplin's very famous for, so I pretty much got into ragtime immediately, right off the bat, and yeah, I took lessons for about 6 years, and even though I took lessons for 6 years, I really don't know how to read notes still. it's all pretty much by ear, so what you'll hear tomorrow night from me, 100% of it is all by ear, is what I've learned.
So you don't read music?
I can, but it takes a long time. Like, I cannot sight read to save my life. I think my teachers in college were kind of irritated at me for that. But I have to go through all the sayings, like every good boy does fine, or F-A-C-E for the staff, the treble clef, and the bass clef. So I can if I really have to, but it takes a lot longer than if I were to just listen to it and do it that way.
So did you start playing by ear back at the very beginning?
Yeah, I mean, I would before I was nine, my grandpa had a keyboard at his house, and when we went over for Christmas and Thanksgiving, I'd listen to something like the Inspector Gadget theme song or something, and it was on TV, or I don't know, the SpongeBob theme song or something, and I tried to figure it out on the keyboard, and that's kind of how I got started, I guess. And like Mission Impossible 2. That was like one of the first tunes I learned also. So yeah, I mean, I started to teach myself by ear before I got into lessons.
What inspired your grandma to give you a Scott Joplin CD when you were 9 years old?
That's a good question. She's always been very eccentric and into Broadway musicals. And I think when I went over to her house, I always liked The Music Man when I was younger. And I really liked the Barbershop Quartet, The Music Man. And I think it's just because of the harmonies they had, and such great harmonies and such great sound. And Scott Joplin isn't really along the same lines as Barbershop, but he does have a lot of really nice harmonies and syncopations, and I think she thought I'd like that. And I must have heard something ragtimey at her house one time and either danced to it or told her I liked it, and she bought it for me, or maybe just like by random happenstance, she thought I might dig it, so she gave it to me.
So how did you start exploring the world of boogie woogie?
You know, I really didn't get into boogie woogie until I was about 15 or 16. My dad bought a couple CDs off of CD Baby, and I was really into the blues for a long time. I really got into blues when I was about 12 or 13. And really considered myself only like a blues pianist. Like, I am just a blues pianist. I don't want to be anything else. And I was really strict to it, too. I was, like, really serious about it when I was 13.
That's a little bit limiting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I was like, this is all I want to do. Nobody give me any sheet music. This is it.
So what would you play when you were 13? What was your favorite thing to play?
My favorite thing to play was probably Stormy Monday. I mean, it's like, if you ever go to a blues concert, you'll probably hear that song.
Can you give us a few bars of it?
Let's see here. Call it Stormy Monday. Tuesday's just as bad. Well, they call it Stormy Monday. But Tuesday's just as bad. Well, Wednesday I go to church. Sunday's oh so sad. Like I was really into blues, and started singing like, I don't know, I was an angsty teenager, you know, so I had to be into the blues.
Angsty and eccentric.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So back to your original question, how I got into boogie woogie. When I was 15, my dad ordered a bunch of CDs, and one of them was of this guy, Ricky Nye, and his show in Cincinnati called the Blues and Boogie Woogie Piano Summit. And he had three other musicians besides himself on the CD, and they were all different variety of piano. And his last tune on the CD was called The Creole Boogie. And I liked it just because it was kind of like rock and roll. Not really, but it was kind of along the same lines. And I had no idea what it was, except for it was called The Creole Boogie. And I liked it. So I took it and listened to it on my CD player over and over and over again and learned it by ear. And I sent him an email like a year later asking him if he was ever going to be in Iowa. And he sent me an email the next day saying he was going to be in Iowa that very weekend for the first time in his whole life.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So I went to go meet him, and he invited me to play in his show, the Summit, the following November, just as kind of a guest to check it out. And I met a bunch of piano players. One of them was Eric Jan Overbeek when I was 17. That's a
guy. And he's also known as Mr. Boogie Woogie.
Yeah, Mr. Boogie Woogie.
He'll be playing with you tomorrow night.
Yeah, he's going to play with me tomorrow night. All right. I haven't seen him since I was 17, so that's kind of how I got into it. I mean, I met those guys, and then I got invited to the Cincy Blues Festival, and the Cincy Blues Fest was where I really, really got into it. I met Axel Zwingenberger, the creme de la creme de Boogie Woogie from Germany, but nine other fantastic blues and boogie woogie piano players, and I took all their stuff and went home, and I'm pretty sure I didn't play anything but boogie for like 3 years. So
what's the relationship between blues and boogie woogie?
Yeah, well, blues came first. Obviously, blues was around in the 1800s, obviously the late 1800s. And boogie woogie didn't really come into being until around 1920, between 1925 and 1930. The first documented recording of boogie woogie is 1929 in December. Of Pine Top Smith, his boogie woogie is called Pine Top's Boogie Woogie, and boogie woogie originated as dance music. I mean, in his song, he tells people to hold it and dance, and then grab your partner and swing around and stuff like that. So, I guess the correlation between boogie and blues is essentially they're the same form. They're both 12 bars for all you music people out there. They're both 12 bars. They follow a 1-4-5 pattern, and if you speed up a blues, it's pretty much the same thing as a boogie. I mean, essentially they're the same thing. They all have different patterns and stuff like that. But boogie woogie's dance music, and it's supposed to make you happy, I think. It's supposed to just make you feel good, be happy, smile. And to me, blues, I think, is supposed to do the same thing. I think a lot of people think of the blues as being depressing or sad, and they don't want to listen to it because it's going to bring them down. But for me, it does the exact opposite. It brings me up. It lifts my spirit. It makes me happy. It puts a smile on my face. And for me personally, the type of blues I like to sing is kind of, it's fun blues. It's funny. It kind of has some innuendos in it. It's supposed to make you laugh, supposed to make you pay attention, and just supposed to make you feel good. Same with my boogie. So I feel like my blues and boogie are kind of oriented just because I want to make you happy. That's what I want to do.
Have you thought about what it is about boogie-woogie and blues music that seems to date back to a pretty specific time period in the 20s and 30s that really speaks to you. Why is it such a specific kind of music that you've dedicated your life to?
That's a really good question. You know, I love the blues at first, I think, just because it was something that allowed me to express myself and allowed me to get all my emotions out in a medium that was very useful to me and very, I guess, therapeutic to me. And I think why I guess, connect myself so much to it is because I like even when I look at people that dress, like, in the 30s and 20s, I like the way they dress, I guess. And I just like that era, I guess. It just seems very, very glamorous. It's called the Golden Age. You know, the 1920s were the Golden Age. And it's basically because, you know, everybody dressed a certain way. The music was happy. During the Depression, swing came about, and boogie-woogie was very prominent during the Depression, and that was all about trying to make people forget about how horrible the times were and make you happy. And I think that needs to happen more. I think that people just need to be happy more. Like, even when I just moved to Boston, and when I'm on the subway, you know, nobody smiles in the subway. Nobody smiles. And so I try to smile more at people, and I'm just, you know, I'm trying to make people happy. So I think that's why I connect so much, is because it makes me happy. I think back when it was popular, it was meant to make people happy, and that's my connection to it, I think.
Now, you learn a lot of songs by ear, obviously, and you listen to a lot of music from this time period. Are you also composing your own boogie-woogie?
Yeah. I write my own stuff. I write more blues, I think, than boogie-woogie. I like to write lyrics, I think. Boogie is fun to write also, but I don't know. I enjoy writing blues more, I think, because it's fun for me to really get a reaction from the crowd vocal-wise instead of just performance-wise. So I've written more blues tunes than I have boogie-woogie tunes. If you've been to my show in the past, you might know my song Tiny Man, which is, I guess you could say, my signature tune. I am a pretty tiny guy. You can't see over the radio, but I only weigh about 112 pounds. So it's a pretty funny tune about me being a tiny guy.
Can you play a little bit?
I can. Just 'cause I'm a tiny man doesn't mean I got a tiny heart. So it's kind of very innuendo-ish,
right.
It's a funny tune. So I write songs like that to make people laugh and make them kind of. A lot of times when you hear kind of a tune that's like, my baby left me, my dog's dying, you know, my tractor got stolen, whatever. I think people don't necessarily get disconnected, but maybe not be so into it as if they laugh. I feel like if you make somebody laugh, it's an instant connection. So I'm trying to make a better connection by writing funny tunes and making them connect that way. And if I have their attention, I'll play a boogie, which is, you know, use of dynamics can make them really lean up in their seat and listen to me. And maybe if they really want to, they get up and dance. And so I've written my own tunes, but more blues than boogie tunes.
We have a little bit of time. Could you play a couple of minutes of one of your original compositions?
Definitely. I'll play... I'll write one right now. Why not? I'll write the IPR boogie. Here it is.
Maybe a new theme song there.
Yeah, that's great.
I love that. So you're in Boston now. What are you doing in Boston?
I am studying at North Bennett Street School for piano technology. And essentially, I'm learning how to take apart and put together pianos and tune them. There's more to it than that, but in a nutshell, that's what I'm learning to do. So
I mean, clearly you're putting a lot of effort into performing. You've been doing a lot of traveling and performing, and this is your fourth annual piano stomp.
Yeah.
What are your goals for the future?
You know, I've had a few different ideas of what I really want to do. I think my next goal is to create another show, kind of like the one I'm doing now with the piano stomp, but maybe make it more revolving around just the music around the time period, not so much just the piano. From the 1900s to 1930 or something like that, maybe get even back earlier. When I taught the summer at Elkins College in West Virginia, I met a few other great performers, and I think they'd be great for the show. So I think I really want to bring more music to the area, more music around the world, I guess, and just create more venues for this. I think it really needs to be kept around. It's really one of America's greatest art forms, and I think people need to know about it. So
when you're done in Boston, will you come back to Iowa?
You know, I might. I might just do that. I'm trying. My goal is to become a piano tech at a university. So, you know, if there's an opening, I'll be back here. You bet.
All right, so you're on notice.
Yeah, exactly.
All the universities in Iowa.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, we are nearly out of time. Chase Garrett, what a pleasure to talk with you today.
Yeah, thank you, Charity, for having me here.
The Chase Garrett 4th Annual Blues and Boogie Woogie Piano Stomp is tomorrow night at the Englert Theater in Iowa City. I want to say a big thank you to West Music in Coralville for providing the keyboard today so we could have some music here in the studio. And I have some credits to do here, but Chase, can you play us out with something?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese. Sarah Bowden, Emily Woodbury, and Ben Stanton. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Podcasting and on-demand audio of Talk of Iowa are available at iowapublicradio.org. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on the show, it's Horticulture Day. We'll talk about getting your garden ready for winter. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.